Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on The Fan. Hope you're having a good Saturday. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you all. Some great callers. Shout outs to Omar from Brooklyn right before we went to break. Went on a little rant on the New York Knicks there for a second. Thank you to Dow Strawberry for joining in and having an opportunity to talk about the state of Major League Baseball, the state of the New York Mets and also the Yankees. And then obviously the New York Jets will play in a game that you hope they lose tomorrow. The New York Giants are off. And of course, as Omar said, from Brooklyn, there's a lot of talk about the Knicks. What they're doing, what they're not doing, what's going on in the NBA around them. As we got a lot of players getting deals. Dwight Howard is in Philly now, and Montrezl Harrell switches LA teams. But what's going on here in New York City? So to talk about it, to get some insight, we're going to chat it up with the senior NBA writer for ESPN 538. He used to cover the New York Knicks on a beat. It's Chris Herring. Chris, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the time to hop on. I guess a first impression, since people want to know what's going on with these Knickerbockers. Obviously, this is going to be a multi-year process for them to actually be a team that can, you know, have some sustainability. What are your initial impressions about what the Knicks and then also the Nets have done early on here in free agency?
Well, I think it's been, you know, the last few years, especially in years where, you know, last year was just nuts, where you see Kawhi and Paul George kind of operate together to end up with the Clippers, and, you know, LeBron going to the Lakers the year before that, and consider obviously the Durant move to the Warriors and Kyrie and Kevin Durant to the Nets last year. I think the expectation is always that we're going to see blockbuster deals. I'm sure it's probably disappointing for a lot of fans that just kind of feel like they haven't seen the fireworks with the New York teams this year. But truth be told, I think none of us had a sense of exactly what the Knicks were going to do. This wasn't a big free agent year anyway, just when you looked at the names that were going to move around and stuff like that. We kind of knew that. But I think we didn't have a real hunch as to what the Knicks were going to do, because this is a new leadership team. With Leon Rose, obviously. And so, I mean, it's been quiet, but on some level, I think people would probably prefer peace and quiet. And, you know, you make a move here or there, as opposed to kind of coming in with a really loud move that doesn't actually help you, or is kind of premature just based on where the team is and what it's doing. So, I think the jury obviously is still out. They haven't really made many signings for the Knicks. I think the Nets kind of preempted everything by making the trade for Landry Shamet and just bringing back somebody in Joe Harris. And quite frankly, you know, that seems like the right move, just considering, one, that you need a lot of shooting around Kyrie and Kevin Durant just to kind of make it impossible for defenses to defend you. But two, they're obviously going to try to swing for the fence at some point with the James Harden stuff if they can. And so I don't think it's going to be a free agency move. They've got a lot of money tied up in the cap already. They're going to be looking for a big trade to make to try to cash in some of their chips that way. So it's not. It was never going to be about free agency for them. For the Knicks, I think they're still trying to figure out what's what. you know, what's worth having out there for trying to build for next year and beyond.
Chris Hiring is on a line with us from ESPN 538. I want to get back to specifics as it relates to the Knicks and the Nets in a second. We've seen so much activity, and the players now make so much money. James Harden being offered that, you know, $50 million contracts in the range now, maxing out at 46 per. What are your thoughts on how the NBA has changed and evolved where the players, you know, they have more say-so? We're a long way off from Tom Chambers taking a free agent deal to where we are now, where you got guys saying, I want to go here, I want to go there. What do you think that does for the league?
I think you would hear different answers based on who you talk to. On the one hand, is it great that that these players have so much sway when it comes to what it does for a smaller market? And the idea that you have to prove every single minute that you're out to win and win the whole thing every year, I don't know. And I think the league is still trying to figure out the answer to that question, too, where you see these supermax deals and kind of how nervous it makes smaller markets with whether it's Indiana and Paul George or Sacramento with DeMarcus Cousins, you know, and hell, even James Harden, Russell Westbrook, from having been in Oklahoma City and now, like you said, with Harden, and certainly with Giannis right now. I mean, we've seen the Bucks try to be really aggressive, maybe to the point where they kind of are getting themselves in trouble with the potential tampering charge that the league is kind of investigating right now. But I don't know how I feel about that. I think the league would even admit that the Supermax and that the idea of deals meant to keep big-name players in smaller markets, that it hasn't worked out the way they intended for it to. If you ask me personally about whether the dynamic is set up the right way between ownership versus players, you know, I wish other leagues had more leverage for their players to use, because I don't like seeing what happened with Dak Prescott happen. In the NFL, for instance, I think that other leagues could probably take some cues from the NBA about how much power the players have. But there might be times here and there where it's a little bit out of step, and I think that the NBA is certainly having to grapple with that right now.
Okay. Well, Chris, I got to ask you, as we talk about power and players who want to make power plays, one of the plays that we've heard is that none of the big names, like Christian Wood certainly took the money in Houston, but Russell Westbrook wants out. James Harden wants out to head out to Brooklyn. What do you think about the reality of a James Harden joining the Nets? Wouldn't the team be bereft and snatched up of backup talent?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, if you're asking my personal opinion on it, honestly, I probably would like to see the Nets just kind of play it out with the roster that they have, or to kind of move some of those pieces they have around just to add to depth and maybe other positions, maybe help with the center position or something like that with the bigs. I don't really think they need three wing players that are of that caliber. Or if you're doing it, I mean, you know, part of me looks at it and says, man, if you could just have Harden and Durant there together, and this would never work this way, but, you know, do you really need Kyrie in that role?
Sure. Who's
been so injury prone. Now, like I said, it would never happen. They obviously signed kind of as a package deal together. But Harden, I mean, Harden is just an incredible, incredible player. You're never going to kind of turn away from that opportunity. I imagine most teams in the league, probably maybe a couple, would say no thank you, just based on where they're at or the way that their team operates right now. But Brooklyn would be foolish not to hear it out. But there is a part of me that, you know, before you've even played a single game with your two stars and seeing how they gel and seeing how they play with a lot of other talent, whether it's Dinwiddie or Caris LeVert or what have you, it's probably not the way I would want to go, just on my own. But if Harden wants to go there, and you want to kind of just take the attention from the Knicks and really from the NBA as a whole, that would be one way to do it. And quite frankly, we know that the Nets have operated that way in the past, where they kind of go for the big flashy things as a way to try to really steal the thunder from other places. And so I understand it. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad move. I just think that it would make them really thin as far as depth.
As currently constructed, Chris, what are your thoughts on how the Nets fit in as a competitor in the East? Obviously, we see players moving around. But the gut of the team is there right now at this moment. How do they compete with a changing Bucks team or Heat, if healthy, obviously?
That's the thing. And I mean, it's such a big if. We haven't seen Durant play since his situation with his Achilles. We haven't seen Kyrie come back from, what was it, his shoulder. We have no clue how they're going to play together. We have no clue whether that's going to be a team that's really interested in playing defense. You know, it's not a team full of defensive stalwarts. We just saw Garrett Temple, I think, signed to come on to play here in Chicago. I don't know. I think they could be really great. I think they would give themselves more margin for error if they go get Harden, kind of as a top-end talent. They would have more top-end talent than any team in the East, I think, if you're able to go and swing that deal. And maybe that's what you're gunning for at that point. We also have no clue how Steve Nash is going to do as a coach. And so it's just, you've got so many unknowns. I could see it being one of those teams where the average person thinks that they're the favorite, but I don't even think there's anything that they could really do, even if they were to get Harden, that would convince me to say they're the favorite, because we're just going off of, you know, the career accomplishments that those three guys have laid out, and the fact that we're taking their word for it when, you know, they haven't been healthy or we haven't seen them play a single minute together on the floor. So I don't know. I mean, it's tough for me to really gauge where they're at. It's hard to imagine they'd be, you know, a lower level playoff team in the East. I think you have to bet that they'd be a top level team, you know, top four team. But Boston is strong. Toronto obviously is very, very strong. Miami is going to come back strong. And, you know, it made themselves better, I think, this offseason. And you've got the Bucks, who are going to be different, certainly. And so it's hard to kind of figure out exactly where the Nets stack up in relation to those other four teams or so. And Philly, with Doc Rivers as coach now.
Yeah, everybody is adding pieces and moving folks around. I know Avery Bradley, you want to talk about another backcourt guy. He's now going to be joining the Miami Heat. We're chatting it up with Chris Herring, senior NBA writer for ESPN 538. One team that we know is a little bit clear in what they need to do or what they want to do, and that's rebuild, and that's the Knicks. And as we see somebody like Avery Bradley, he's the latest domino to head to another team. Van Vliet is going to be staying up in Toronto, or at least Tampa, temporarily. What are your thoughts on how the New York Knicks develop their own backcourt? Obviously, I agree with you wholly that be happy you guys haven't made just a big splash to, quote-unquote, make one or overpay. But do you see a situation where the Knicks just kind of roll with a Nil Aquina and a Dennis Smith and just keep what they have for a few months into the season at least?
You know, I really kind of hoped they hadn't done that. And I'm, you know, for people that follow me on Twitter and follow my writing and stuff like that, I really, really like Nil Aquina. And, you know, I think obviously this is a big year for him. I don't know that he's really a lead ball handler. I don't know that he has to be, given how talented he is on defense. But I do agree that he needs to show more and certainly more consistency on offense. But I think after what we saw last year with Elfrid Payton, when he was able to play, he doesn't set guys up quite well enough on offense to where he makes life easier for them. And it's been so long since they've had, you know, just a start. I mean, really think about it. For the last decade, the most consistent point guard that they've had has been maybe Raymond Felton, you know, everyday point guard, you know, and if it's not him, then maybe you're talking about someone like Pablo Prigioni, who never was like their lead point guard. He's always kind of a secondary point guard. So I mean, it tells you a lot about just how bereft at that position they've been. And so really maybe the only free agent I would have been okay, or maybe would have said, I get it, from the standpoint of overpaying to bring somebody in, would have been Fred VanVleet. And I would be really curious. I haven't seen anybody, Woj or anybody else, kind of go there with their analysis of it yet. Part of me wonders whether certain teams kind of threw out there that they were willing to go higher than the Raptors did, because his deal at 4 years, $85 million, it was one of the deals, maybe the deal that was the most kind of in line with exactly what I figured he'd get or what he seemed to be worth. But because of that, it makes me wonder whether there were other teams out there, the Knicks or anybody else, that were going to lay out more than that. But Van Vliet, realizing that he's on a contender, he's already won a championship, basically saying that if I can get this much, I'm not going to leave.
Yeah,
I would have been fine with the Knicks. Yeah, I would have been fine with the Knicks. Not that I care, but you know, if they had laid out an offer around that or more than that, I would have understood it, because at least he sets the table for you, and he makes life easier for RJ Barrett, and he, you know, you would hope that he makes life easier for Frank Ntilikina and other guys that just don't look totally comfortable in their roles or have too much on their shoulders offensively to do. Van Vliet gives you a legitimate point guard who's played in big moments, who can shoot, who can get to the basket somewhat, who can defend, can defend up a position and defend two guards if he needs to. That's the kind of player that you know, if you can get somebody like that, would be great. And I just think there was such a big drop off between he and the other guys in that class, and just guys that are the same age range as the guys that you've got now. And so I would have been fine with that had they done it. Obviously, it didn't happen. So I don't know what the answer is now. I would have loved to have seen them brought in somebody at point guard who could lift the level of everybody else's play on offense. And, I mean, we heard people talking about Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul an option like that? And that wouldn't have really made a lot of sense to me just because of how old he is. But Van Vliet was the one guy I was looking at thinking that if they do that, I don't know that there's a such thing as a huge, huge overpay for them, because it would make everybody else better.
Well, Chris, if you take a look at what the New York Knicks had an opportunity to do on Wednesday night, they went with Obi Toppin as opposed to selecting a point guard. What are your thoughts on how that played out for the New York Knicks and just their overall current roster construction moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, so they've obviously, you know, made some moves to kind of just cut certain guys loose. They signed the glut of forwards last year in free agency. They bring in Toppin. And, you know, it's interesting to kind of hear so much during the draft about how they were hoping and praying that he would fall to them. And on some level, you know, when you're in the draft and you don't have a top five guy or even a top three guy, if you can get someone who you know is going to bring something to the table, you know that a guy can score, for instance, and obviously that's what he's known for, that and his athleticism, that on some level, after you get past a certain point in the draft, you gladly accept and take what somebody can give you definitively. So he can score, you know, and when you look at what he's able to do, and you look at, you know, the fact that he can shoot, the fact that he's a force around the rim, the fact that he's really dangerous in pick and roll situations, but really can't defend a shadow, you know, that might work for a team that, you know, that you basically you go in knowing exactly what the blind spot is. And you hope that with this coaching staff and with Tom Thibodeau and with some different developmental guys that you can basically fix those flaws over time or, you know, gradually. And then you make him into a player that's not hurting you on the defensive end as much. And if you can get him to that point and he can maintain the offensive skills he has and they translate to the NBA, then you've got a really good player. And so it looks like that's kind of what they went for. You know, how does that fit? How does he fit with somebody like Julius Randle, assuming that the Knicks bring him back? I have no idea. And, you know, maybe that's a secondary concern. You're probably not sold at all on Julius Randle going forward, aside from him having a contract for a couple more years. So the Knicks figure that out. You know, they deal him somewhere else. They let his contract play out. And then you just hand the keys over to Obi Toppin completely. So I don't think it's as big a concern. I mean, I think that this year is transitional for them. I think that they're trying to figure out exactly what they have, make a final decision on Ntilikina, figure out a little bit more about RJ Barrett this year, try to figure out who else is going with you for next year, and then taking a bunch of money and, you know, trying to figure out whether they can make some use of these draft picks from the Mavs and go from there. I mean, this is a year, too, where I think in free agency, even now, I don't even think it's determined yet. If they can take money and players from teams that don't want guys, you know, I think that the situation in Charlotte, for instance, where they had to clear a little bit of cap space to go get Gordon Hayward,
yeah.
If the Knicks could have taken on Nick Batum or something like that, and, you know, obviously nobody wanted that contract, Charlotte ended up waiving him. But if you can get draft picks for guys like that, that's what the Knicks should be doing. And honestly, it sounds like they've been receptive to that in a way that they haven't been in the past. So they're acting very differently so far this free agency. And more often than not with the last 20 years they've had, that's normally a good sign given what we've seen, you know, for the last two decades.
I agree with you. This isn't just a fix the Knicks in 3 days situation. This isn't a fix them in 1 year. This is going to be a multi-year process. I mean, we had some callers who said, bring back Jeremy Lin. And I'm like, well, shoot, bring back the VCR while we're at it. And a matter of fact, while we're having this conversation, I know that there were some Knicks fans who wanted him back. Some were just like, no, don't bring him back. But it looks like Carmelo Anthony is going to be staying in Portland with the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. So in a different world, I guess 2020, you could look at the New York Knicks as being a team that is being responsible up until this point. Chris, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. Where can people follow you and keep up with all the work that you do?
I'm just on Twitter mostly. I don't use other social media all too much, but it's my last name, at Herring, H-E-R-R-I-N-G, underscore NBA.
All right, a big thank you to Chris Herring for joining us, senior NBA writer for ESPN and 538. There's just so much going on in the NBA right now. You want to talk about point guards? It's not like there was a superstar point guard just sitting there for the taking that folks were going to gamble on. You know, Rajon Rondo is going to be heading to Atlanta, I guess, to back up Trae Young with the Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are a team that has gotten better just over the past few days. Last night, they add another former Knick in Danilo Gallinari. So we have teams that are getting better. And Knick fans should not be discouraged. But let's face it, how many years have the New York Knicks either waited on a free agent that did not come, or they just threw money at somebody, which was a complete waste of time? I'd rather know and go through this year and see what we got. You know, we omit what's in front of us. We can talk about guard this and guard that. The Knicks, they might. I'm not saying they are, but they might have a killer in R.J. Barrett. I would hope that he can come back from last season and improve on what he did. You know, up that average from 15 or 16, give us 20. You know, knock down instead of 60% of your free throws. How about you come through this time and give us 75 to 80? The three-point percentage was at 32. See if you can up that a little bit. He's had 8-9 months off of not playing, plenty of time and opportunity in the gym. And I like the fact that we haven't heard all that much. Come back and surprise us. Have a little bit of muscle on the frame. Come out ready to ball. You know, we had a lot of talk about, well, the NBA season just ended. Yeah, it ended for the Lakers. It ended for the Miami Heat. Yeah, LeBron James isn't going to come out just being shot out of a cannon at 36 years old. That's not going to be the case. He's going to get warmed up. But if you're a young team, if you are the Knicks, if you're the Hawks, if you were one of those teams that has not played since March, you should be ready to go. The other aspect that I don't think a lot of people are really taking time on, let's be real, let's be honest. Point guards, this year specifically, we're going to have the toughest road towards being acclimated to life in the NBA. And a matter of fact, I want to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about that, as well as your calls, 877-337-6666. This year is going to be difficult for every NBA rookie, especially the point guards. We'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.